Well, it certainly is a joy to be in one room with so many happy sisters. Happy sisters. I just about feel that if we would have almost even end now with having breakfast together, having a little fellowship, singing a little bit together, reading the Lord's Word together, already we're encouraged and we could go home and be refreshed. We should do this more often. You know, the Lord has ordained that there is a particular and special position for the sisters. There is a particular function for sisters that is revealed in the revelation of the scriptures. The enemy, Satan, he snuck in through the female. That's what we see in Genesis 3. Satan took advantage and found a way in through the female. And actually, Paul reminds us of this in his letter to Timothy. It's interesting, though, that the Lord then ordained that the enemy would be defeated through a sister, through the female. Even in the same chapter where we see the fall, where we see the serpent coming in Genesis chapter 3. In that same chapter, when the Lord comes into the garden and he speaks to Adam and Eve, right? He comes, "Where are you?" And then they have some fellowship. And he speaks something to Adam. He speaks something to Eve. He speaks something to Adam. And then he speaks even to the serpent. And he said, "The seed of a woman." The seed of a woman will bruise your head. So the Lord has ordained that through the female life, Satan will be defeated. And this is something in all the scriptures. When you see the proper standing at certain crucial times in the scriptures, the proper standing of the females, that gives the Lord the ground to defeat the enemy. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that everything that we see in the Old Testament, particularly related to the children of Israel, everything is a type for the New Testament church. So even all those what seem to be just stories, actually they show us principles. And this is actually a great principle. We do not spend enough time, and we thank the Lord that we could have such a day like this, separated, to look into some of these matters, to highlight this crucial role of the sisters. You know, often God uses the things of nature to show us the spiritual principles. And in the human family, it's just like this. The father has a certain role, the mother has a certain role. But actually, you have to say, even though according to the word, the husband is supposed to be the head of the household, still, in practicality, in actuality, the mom, without the mom, you can't have the household. Actually, even dad was brought forth by a woman. So the Lord uses this kind of picture to show us something. And that is that life comes through the female. Life comes through the female. And actually, the first and main function of the females in the scripture is to preserve and maintain life. To preserve and maintain life. And this is so in the church life. If the sisters are healthy, the church life is healthy. But no matter the condition of the brothers, if the sisters in a local church are not in a healthy state, that church will have problems. I think when we gathered like this the last time, we brought out this kind of example that actually this is an example in a message given by Brother Lee. I think it's very apropos that in the human body, the brothers are like the bones that provide the structure. Yeah. But the sisters are like the blood. Are like the blood. What's more important? You could have a fracture, but you survive. Even you could have multiple fractures, you can survive. But if just some little disease in the blood, the whole body is in danger. The whole body is in danger. So, sisters, this is you in the church life. This is so in the body in general, and this is so in your local church. In each of our local churches, there is such a function. So in the church life, you all have to be the moms. Even the young sisters should be the mothers in the church life. Those who are always giving life, always preserving life. You know, we do have some examples in the scripture to show this. And some of the best ones are actually in the book of Exodus. You know, in Exodus 1, you can see, I'll mention Exodus 1 and 2. In Exodus 1 and 2, you have two females in chapter 1. You have two females in chapter 2 that play a critical role in the history of the nation of Israel. Actually, specifically, in the producing of Moses. In the producing of Moses. You know, we certainly credit Moses as the savior, right? As the leader, right? Who brought the children of Israel. God used him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But it's very interesting that the story does not begin with the calling of Moses, right? In Exodus 3 and 4. That's not how the story begins. The story begins in chapter 1. And where are God's people? God's people are in Egypt, in bondage, under this Pharaoh, which again is a picture of the New Testament church. Where do we begin? Where do we begin? We begin in the world, slaves of sin, under Satan's rule. Yeah. And then the Pharaoh, there, which is very interesting, sisters. Very interesting. The Pharaoh is nervous. You know, in Exodus 1, the Pharaoh is not at peace. The Pharaoh is not at peace. Why is he not at peace? Why? Because God's people had too many babies. God's people grew. God's people, what? They took the charge of Genesis 1 to what? Be fruitful and multiply. And so there were, at the end of Genesis, there were a total of 70 souls, 70, that comprised God's people on the earth. That's what you see at the end of Genesis. But you just turn the page to Exodus 1. It doesn't give a number there, but Bible students have figured, because of the numbering of the army, right, in the book of Numbers, that probably God's people now numbers around 2 million. Around 2 million. So several hundred years have passed between end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus. So now you have God's people, and the Pharaoh is nervous. Do you realize that this is a picture? Did you ever realize Satan gets nervous? I mean, this is what the scripture is unveiling to us. You believe the Bible, right? And the Bible says that everything that happened in the Old Testament is a type. Yeah. And of course, we talk about the Passover lamb, the Red Sea, the manna, all types, right? Yeah. We say even Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. But the Pharaoh's nervous. Why? The increase. The increase. Many children. Okay. Then the Pharaoh devises a plot with two prongs. One is toward the older generation, one toward the younger generation. The older generation, the plot is to tire them out, waste their energy so that they don't have energy left to serve Jehovah. Toward the younger generation, oh, this plot, so evil. To slay the males, the boys, and then allow the women, allow the females to grow. But then what will happen eventually? Of course, they will grow and intermarry with the Egyptians, and you have a situation of mixture. Okay. This is all pre-Moses. This is all getting us ready to meet Moses later in this book. Okay. Who saves the day? Yeah. These two midwives. Yeah. From what I know, none of us ever name our daughters after the two midwives. These are not two popular names. Yeah. Shifra and Puah. Shifra and Puah. And these two women, they rose up in a certain way. Now, actually, when I read the chapter, there are things I do not understand. And there, because the Pharaoh comes to them, "What did you do? I gave you this order." And they give, you know, some reason. Oh, the Hebrew women are lively. And anyway, before we're able to do anything. And, oh, I think this was just the wisdom of these two women. The Lord just, they were the right ones at the right time. And do you know what happened? The Pharaoh had to change his strategy. And so now, instead of killing the boys, because he saw, I have no way here. Then now he changed the edict to what? Throw the boys into the river, right? And the name Moses, I think we all know this, the name Moses, it means in Hebrew, drawn from, like taken from the water. He was drawn from the water. His name, that's what Moses means. So do you see, there's another type here, sisters. And that is that the females functioning in the proper way cause Satan to have to change his way. When the sisters say no, Satan has no way to do anything. He has to change. There is a picture here, sisters. These two sisters, and the Lord blessed them for their faithfulness. The Lord blessed them. But don't you think this was at a risk? Don't you think this was at a risk? They risked something to maintain life. They risked something to preserve life. Then in chapter 2, now Moses' family, you know, he's born. It says in Hebrews 11 that for 3 months, by faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. Oh, you tell me, is it easy to hide a baby for 3 months? How? That's a miracle. But it requires also some wisdom. Surely it's motivated by love for their child. But don't you believe Moses' mother, whose name is Jochebed? Yeah. And I have to give credit to the father, because in Hebrews, it does say hidden by his parents. Yeah. But in Exodus 2, you don't see the father. His name is Amram. You don't see him. He's not mentioned at all. Yeah, it's not mentioned at all. And it's often like this in the family. Father's in the back. And this shows a kind of principle. For the family, for the life to be preserved, the majority of the responsibility is on the moms. In the church life, on the sisters. And at most, it's a 4-to-1 ratio. 4-to-1 ratio. You have 4 sisters and then Amram in the background. Preserving Moses. Now, eventually, of course, Moses was the Savior. But remember where he came from. And then we have that marvelous story where they put Moses into the river, and who's there? Pharaoh's daughter. Another female used by God. Yeah. And when she finds the baby, she realizes, oh, this is a Hebrew boy, and she knows what's going on. She knows what happened here. And then all of a sudden, it seems like out of the weeds there, Miriam comes. Madam? Well, it doesn't tell us what it says, but I think we'll use a little sanctified imagination for a moment. Madam, would you like me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? It seems like she said something like, that's a good idea. And so here, and even I'll pay you for that. So then she comes home with the baby. Mommy, here's, yeah. And in that time, they have more time to infuse him. So you have 2 sisters without children of their own at first. Without children of their own. 2 sisters caring for the children of God's people. So this shows, this is not just for the moms. Sisters, all of us here. Sisters, you have a role. You may say, but I'm very young. Well, then in chapter 2, you have a mother and a daughter. You have a big sister. Oh, I tell you, all the young people need moms and big sisters. Moms and big sisters. They listen to you more even than their own mothers sometimes. You know this. Do you remember this growing up? Do you remember who you used to listen to? Do you remember that at times you would listen to anybody but your own mother and father? Did this happen to many of you? But if there's another sister in the church that the children can open up to, what a protection that is. What a safeguard that is. And actually, as parents, we can take care of each other's children. We're saying the same thing, but if I say it to your child, oh, they listen. I say it to my child, they don't listen. But then they go to you and you say the exact same thing, they say, very wise. That's the way it works. That's our history. But we need to be there for them. We need to be there for them. Another one in the scripture who you could see as a preserver of life is Esther. Actually, the entire book of Esther is a beautiful picture. She was raised up for this, to preserve God's people. And you know her attitude? I think you know the story. We teach this. This is to our children. When her uncle tells her, you must go to the king. You must go. She says, but it's not the time. The king's supposed to call me. And she says, well, you have to decide. Eventually she says, I'm going to go before the king. Even he hasn't called me, I'm going to go before the king. And she says this in chapter 4. Esther 4, I think it's 16. If I perish, I perish. A sister. If I perish, I perish. Oh, how we need the real Esthers in the church life. At a risk, just like the midwives. At a risk. In Romans, I forget that we read only 1 and 2, right? Romans 6, 16, 1 and 2. Yeah. No, I actually want to show you verses 3 and 4. Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. We don't, it's okay, we don't have it there. This is about Priscilla or Prisca. You know, in the New Testament, we have this couple. Oh, it's there? Do you have it? It's here in Chinese. It's coming there. Is it coming? There we go. Let's read 3 and 4. We've mentioned this before. You know, in Romans 16, the reason we read some verses from this chapter, Romans 16 is a very, it's a chapter that's very crucial related to the matter of the church life. And Paul, at the end of this epistle, which shows us the structure of the Christian life and the church life, culminating in the practical church life, then he gives these greetings, which apparently it's just a greeting, but of course, all scripture is God-breathed. And we can see that nothing in the scripture is wasted. Everything is meaningful. And in this chapter, it's very interesting how many times Paul addresses sisters. Actually, from the beginning, the first one commended is Phoebe. And I believe there are about 6 sisters that are mentioned here in this chapter. But the second one is Prisca. Actually, when I was growing up and reading the Bible, I couldn't tell who's the female, who's the male. I didn't know that Prisca was a derivative of, or short of the name Priscilla. And so you read in one place, and sometimes it says Prisca and Aquila, and other times it says Aquila and Prisca. I was confused when I was a teenager. Then we find out, oh, Prisca. Prisca is the female name, Priscilla. And here, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And it is different for such a greeting to be in the scripture that the female would be mentioned first. And even this, don't think it's a small thing. That in one place, Luke would write Aquila and Priscilla, but here, I mean when he wrote Acts, but here, Paul would write Prisca and Aquila. Even the order is significant. This shows, because this chapter highlights the practical church life, that for the going on of the practical church life, actually the sisters take a primary role. The sisters take a primary role. You cannot have the practical church life without the support of the proper sisters. But I want to highlight this particular quality about Priscilla. It says, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. This Priscilla and her husband Aquila were Paul's co-workers. And it says, who risked their own necks for my life. There is this line in the scriptures of the females who, at the risk of their lives, preserved life for the body of Christ. With the midwives, with Moses' mother and daughter, with Esther, with Priscilla, you can see this kind of line. Oh, how we need the Esthers and the Priscillas for the church life to go on. Sisters, as I mentioned, the main function of the sisters is not cooking for the love feast. It's not doing the cleaning of the hall. The main function of the sisters is to preserve life in the church life, in the body of Christ. You know, again, the Lord uses often the pictures in nature. And we know life is brought forth through the female life. Life is brought forth. And that really is so in the church life. Actually, you could say that the function of the sisters is to produce all the matters in the church life, to bring forth all the matters in the church life. You know, the brothers, even the leading ones, may have an idea, may have a burden. And when they mention the burden, anything, whether it's to have something for the children or a gospel event or even a new meeting hall or a spreading, okay, that's a good idea and a good burden. But eventually, if the sisters in the church do not take up this burden, that burden cannot be brought forth. The Lord's move depends on the sisters. I want to read something to you from a message from the collected works of Witness Lee, from Brother Lee, given in 1968. I hope you could go there and find it. This message is entitled Fellowship Concerning the Sisters' Function in the Church Life, 1968. And volume one. And I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs to you here. It says, based on my experience, I have learned that in order to have a proper church life, the sisters must bear a particular responsibility and carry out a particular function. The brothers cannot replace the sisters' function. In a family, the husband cannot conceive and give birth to anything. Only the wife can bear a child. This is an illustration of the situation in the church life. In order to have a proper family life, the mother is more important than the father. The principle is the same regarding the church life. In this sense, we may say that the sisters are more important than the brothers in the church life. No matter what the church endeavors to work out, and now we come to the point that I was trying to make. If the sisters do not bear the responsibility, it is difficult to bring forth anything. The brothers may initiate something and may make many decisions, but whether or not anything can be conceived and worked out depends more on the sisters. If the sisters are silent and dormant in relation to anything in the church life, that thing will not have a good outcome. In the matter of gospel outreach, it seems that the responsibility should be mainly on the brother's side. But if the sisters do not pick up this responsibility, it is difficult for the church to bring forth or give birth to the outreach of the gospel. In order to give birth to the outreach of the gospel, the sisters must bear the responsibility. Even with the ministry of the word, take note of this, please. Although it is the brothers who minister, If the sisters do not pick up the burden and bear the responsibility to pray for the ministry, it is very difficult to give proper birth to the ministry. However, if the sisters bear the responsibility in the spirit to stand with the ministering one and pray against any kind of attack from the enemy, this will give a rich birth to the ministry. Therefore, all the things of life related to the local church must be, quote unquote, conceived and brought forth by the sisters. Sisters, I can tell you, this last point here, I can bear witness to this and even appreciate very much. There are groups of sisters who, you know, in some of us, just under the Lord's arrangement, our function, we travel to certain places here and there to minister. And I tell you, they ask us our schedule. They like to know. And they pray for our travel. In so many details. They pray for our health. They pray for the families. They pray for the burden. They pray for the place where we're going to. And, oh, I tell you, if not for that, we could not stand. We could not continue. And how much I appreciate. Actually, I could tell you, I have two groups of sisters who always ask. And many of the co-working brothers, behind them, there are groups of sisters who are praying in detail for the ministry of the word. Without that, we have no covering. We have no covering. How we covet the prayer of the sisters in this function. Do you realize that even in the ministry, you have a crucial role? Without your involvement, there will be lacks, both in the local church and in the work of the ministry. Sisters, I hope you really would take this to heart. Now, I'd like to quickly give maybe four principles or four points. How can the sisters on one hand, how can a sister, but we always hope that there would be groups of sisters serving together in every local church. How can the sisters carry out this responsibility to bring forth the things in the church life? Okay, just four points. The first one is actually love. And that is, you can see, especially in the New Testament, it is the sisters who take the lead to pour themselves out on the Lord, to love the Lord. To love the Lord even with their being and with their possessions. There's many that you could see. Of course, there's a number of Marys in the New Testament that show us this. Right? There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary Magdalene. There's actually another Mary, the wife of Clopas, it tells us in John 19, who is there at the cross. You know, it's very interesting at the cross when the Lord was being crucified. Again, even there you see, I think it's four sisters, one brother. Brothers were a little chicken. Because their lives were threatened. But weren't these sisters' lives maybe threatened as well? Their association with this man? But they were their sisters. The ones who went to the tomb. Sisters. Brothers went later. Why? Because the sisters told them. If not, they were just back. That night, you know that famous story? Who's the one who pours the ointment? Sister. Sisters, I believe we have this reality in many of the local churches. The sisters taking the lead to love the Lord. Sisters, that our love for the Lord could be renewed every day. Fresh every day. We'll talk more about this in the next session. The second point which follows. We've spoken a little bit about this. To be such a person who brings forth life requires sacrifice. And no one sacrifices more than a mother. You know, it was ordained that children are childbearing, children are produced through pain. That's a portion of the female life. Life produced through pain. And that's a picture. That's a picture. The pain, those labor pains, they're not completed when the child is born. Actually, many of you who are mothers of teenagers or older, you know, those laboring pains continue because you're producing someone. You're producing a proper person. And then as a Christian mother, your goal is to produce a proper vessel for the Lord. And Paul talks about this, right? Paul in Galatians 4. He was still travailing in birth. Sisters, that's part all of our function, to travail in birth for others, especially for the young ones, especially for the new ones. But I would say even for the whole church, even for every burden, oh, that the sisters would put themselves aside, that the sisters would labor, that the sisters would travail to bring forth every burden that's necessary in the church life. You know, this requires some amount of brokenness. This requires the cross. This requires sacrifice. This requires putting oneself aside. But there is no sacrificial love like the love of a mother. Mothers live for others. Mothers eat for others. Mothers do or do not do for others. Things that you enjoy eating, taking in, you don't even think about it. Now, baby's not born yet, you're just pregnant. Oh, no, I can't. I thank God that I'm a male. That's not my portion. That's not my portion. Oh, imagine going through a pregnancy and having to give up coffee. Moms give up things. Things that they love. Things that are second nature because of life. To produce, preserve life. And sisters, in the divine life, is the sacrificing life. We're not talking here in the church life merely about maternal instinct. That's a picture. Because Paul said, even the brothers must be the nursing mothers. And in that spiritual sense, that is my portion. That should be all of our portion. That we would continue to travail, continue to produce something of life for the young ones, for the church life. There is, in the divine life, an innate ability to submit. A life of submission is in the divine life. The Lord all the time was submitting to the will of the Father, even at the end. Father, remove this cup from me, but not as I will. That life is within all of us. You know, sisters, there are two things that have the potential for great damage in the church life, especially among the sisters. These two things. One is our not being like-minded. Not being able to, as it says in Philippians, think the same thing or think the one thing. That is to have our opinion about things. You know, actually, you'll see in the fourth point, I'm going to talk about something very positive, that the sisters are more fine than the brothers. In general, the females are much more fine, much more observant. And that can be both good and bad. Because you notice things, it's easy to criticize. Easy to criticize. So the next point to be one who maintains and produces life is that we need to always pray. But sisters, sometimes you are the first responders of many situations because you notice first. The brothers, some of the husbands are there and what? Everything's fine. It's all good. The sisters see, the detail. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? What's your reaction to that? Is it to murmur? You know, it's very interesting. Murmuring and reasoning. You know this, let all things be done without murmurings and reasonings. You know what book, right? Philippians. Philippians 2. You know, in Philippians 2, at the beginning, Paul pleads with the Philippians. If there's any fellowship of spirit, if there's any tenderheartedness, please think the same thing. Think the one thing. And it seems like he's speaking generally to everybody. Think the one thing. We all have the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. And then later in Philippians 2, it tells us how the Lord emptied himself. Right? He lowered himself. And took the way of the cross. And then God highly exalted him. Then it says, God is operating in you, both the willing and the working for his good pleasure. Which means what? He's working in you. He's operating in you to live the same life. To live the same kind of life. To have the mind of Christ. And then it says, do all things without murmuring and reasoning. Then he goes on, but he's about to finish the letter. You know, remember, this is a letter. And somehow, it seemed that Paul felt, this is not enough. I have to say something about the two, I have to name the sisters. You know, there's two sisters who are his fellow workers, just like Priscilla. That they can't think the same thing. So, it seems to me, I can't say for sure, but it seemed to me Paul was hoping that what he shared in chapter 2 would be enough. And as he's writing, he just had this feeling, this anointing. I better be more specific. And it's, you know, it's very possible this letter was read to all the saints. Read to all the saints. Maybe by the jailer brother. You know the brother who, in Acts 16, he was the one who was the jailer to them. They were in the stocks, you know, in prison. And then he got saved in his whole household. It's very possible he became the leading one in that church. And then there's this other, actually before this household, Lydia is saved, right? Lydia. And they're her household. So you have these two households. But this is a little bit later. Paul's writing to them. And maybe the brother's reading this letter. Imagine if you're reading. And he's saying, think the same thing, and everything. Everybody's amen. Very good. And then comes to a certain point, and he says, oh, and I exhort Pythia, and I exhort Mariella, please think the same thing. I'm just reading the letter. Well, how would you feel? And then it says, Brother Dennis, actually it says to Clement, my yoke fellow, please help the sisters to think the same thing. So even he realizes, even I've named them, it's not going to work. I have to ask a brother to come in. Why? Actually, these two dear sisters were sacrificed for all of us to learn a lesson. What is the lesson? Oh, if the serving sisters in the church are not one, it affects the whole church. It affects the whole church. Sisters, think the same thing. Not thinking the same thing will bring problems. The second damage is what? The second damage is gossip. And Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy 5. Not to be busybodies. You're so busy with other people's business. It's better in the church life. It's better to say, I don't know. I know. With the brothers, you know, in the brothers' meetings, when we have the district brothers' meetings or the elders' meetings, the serving brothers' meetings, we have this kind of a code. We just have, brothers, this is confidential. We don't say anything outside this meeting. We talk things about the church and so on, and that's just all the brothers carry this kind of principle of confidentiality. We must keep that to protect the saints. Sometimes the sisters would say, I'm the last one to know. I mean, the wives. So how come I'm always the last one to know? Sisters, you have to realize it is a blessing to be the last one to know. Blessed are you if you are the last one to know. It's a blessing if you can say, I don't know. A bigger blessing to say, and I don't mind. I don't know, and I don't mind. Of course, if someone asks you something, if you know, then you can't say, I don't know. So it's better just not to know. Try not to know. And when things come to you, just pray. Maintain sacrifice. Maintain submission. Because if the sisters see something and don't have the reflex to pray, it's easy to talk or to criticize the brothers. The brothers actually need your covering. Let me give you the last point. I'll explain this, but I want to say it like this. The sister's function is to be like the salt, to season the brothers, to season the brothers' fellowship. Oh, I tell you, even just this conference, this one day, we have an idea. Oh, let's call the sisters together. Oh, if you leave it to the brothers, this day is a big mess. Disaster. Then sisters come. Well, brothers, did you think about this? Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, if we didn't have sisters all the time. Say, brothers, did you do this? Did you think about this? Oh, I tell you, I think we'd be facing the wrong direction. There'd be no food. The food would be outside. There'd be a lot of things. Of course, we haven't gone to the break yet. Let's see how that works. But many things, even in the carrying out the burden for the children and the young people, even we have a retreat or conference, we have a gospel outing. Oh, I tell you, the fineness of the sisters to say, well, where are you going in the gospel? Have you thought about the safety matter? Oh, the sister is very sensitive. Have you thought about the safety? How will you transport all those young people to a certain location? Oh, the brothers are, oh yeah, never, didn't think of that. Oh, I tell you, sisters, you make the church life flavorful. Without you, I think the church life would be very raw, and with not much flavor, not so pleasing and appealing. That's your function. But sisters, you have to have the proper spirit. You can't say, Peter, Dennis, what are you guys thinking? Don't come like this. Then, actually, you lose your standing. You lose your standing. This is not first. It starts here. It passes through sacrifice. It's processed through prayer. Then we trust what you have to say. Then what you say will not be something according to your disposition. It'll be something processed through death and resurrection. Because you're keener. That's wonderful. And that is something natural. That is something God-given. But I tell you, sisters, if it's not processed through death and resurrection, no matter how sharp you are, it damages the body of Christ. So we need this process. Then you really will be the preservers of life. And the church can bring forth more Christ, bring forth more church, bring forth more spreading of the Lord's move. And wherever it goes, it will be very flavorful, very tasty. Amen. Maybe that's enough for our first session. We're going to meet till 10:30. How about we have some prayer, and then we'll set up the microphones for any overflow that you may have. Okay? How about, again, we have some prayer in groups of two or three, with one or two around us, and then please feel free to come and say something to confirm the word. Amen. Sisters, please come.
Come!
Your portion.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. I'm so thankful for the sisters conference. I was telling this about 12 of us came up from Atlanta, Georgia, and I was sharing with the sisters, like, for the past 4 or 5 months I've been praying to the Lord, I really want to take a girls trip. And the Lord, it's funny how the Lord used those little prayers, those little things within us, to produce something that he's really after. You think about it, how often do we really just get away from everything that we're doing and spend time together in sisterhood with the Lord? And this is what the Lord is after. He doesn't want us just to be those who would serve together in these practical services and not be built together in a way that builds up the body. So I'm so thankful for this word that the Lord has called us all to be those who would travail again and those who would be nursing mothers. And my prayer is that the Lord would train us a little bit more, that we would grow in love, in sacrifice, prayer, and we would salt the earth.
Amen. Praise the Lord, dear sisters. It's so good to see all of you. I just, my heart just is overjoyed, really, today. The whole morning, we were praying on the way. I was very touched that the main function of the sisters is to preserve and maintain life. That was a mind blower for me. And it's just natural for us to sacrifice because we love our children, our grandchildren, and other sisters. But just to the fact that Satan has to change his strategy, that's an amen to me. I mean, I just was like, Lord, he's got to change his plans every time we do something. I don't know if he has to change his plans with the brothers, but he has to do it with us, right? So I just thank the Lord that we have a function. I don't know, sometimes I feel like maybe, oh, Lord, you know, I wish I was a brother, you know? I want to sit in the front, and I am today. But, you know, I just thought, wow, the Lord is speaking a really wonderful word to us. He's encouraging us. We don't have to be discouraged, too, even if we have, you know, kids in a messy house. In my case, I don't have kids in a messy house now, but I used to have kids. Not a messy house, but. Anyway, I just thinking, Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you that we maintain and preserve life. Thank you that we can change the enemy's strategy. Amen. Sisters, we're the enemy's worst nightmare. Praise the Lord.
感谢主啊,我们姊妹真有福啊。哇,我们的全部都坐满了。Praise
the Lord, our sister are very blessed today.
刚才我们弟兄啊,他交通的真是太好了,我们都不知道我们姊妹还这么重要啊。
Well, the brother has a very good fellowship. We didn't realize that our sister has a very important role in the church life.
We used to thought
that our portion is just cooking for the gospel meeting and prayer. But now we realize that even the Moses' birth is preserved by our sisters.
还有我们主耶稣的过世，你看那个坟墓，女都是姊妹先去的，我们姊妹又勇敢又厉害，哇，我们这个姊妹真是不得了啊！所以我们本来我们以为我们姊妹什么都不是。
Even our Lord was time of his death, it's the first sister first comes to the tomb. Our sister is very courageous. Amen.
Amen. 是。 所以我们召会传福音啊，所以我们姊妹的祷告很重要。还有刚才我们弟兄交通，我们弟兄时常要去国外有探望或者各方面的去传福音各方面的工作，我们姊妹的祷告啊，就是他们的支柱啊。Amen.
For the ministry and for the brothers going on to minister, our prayer for sisters are very important.
Amen. 是主啊，我们真是感谢赞美你。其实我们每个人呢、啊、都不敢上来交通，为什么不敢呢？我们都是自己人，有什么怕的？
Well, sometimes we are kind of timid. We don't want to come up.
Okay,
come up to fellowship, but we should take courage to come to fellowship.
一来到这边，我就高兴的什么都忘了。不是余弟兄提醒我的话，我活水的涌流就一直涌流出来。
Amen. Oh, I come up here. I was very joyful. And if not, but Peter stopped me, I will keep on flowing.
Praise the Lord for the sisters. Amen. I just really enjoyed this first message. And then if the sisters are not healthy, the church life is not healthy. And I just really appreciate the brother speaking today and showing that if the sisters can pray for the brothers to function, then the church life will function properly. Amen. And then if the sisters are not healthy, the church life is not healthy. And then when I first, you know, last year I came here as well, and I was like, amen for the sisters. But it's like really amen for the sisters so that the church life can flow and function properly. And then I also enjoyed the fourth part about salt. And when it came to this part, I looked at my mom and I'm like, ugh, we're gossipers. But praise the Lord. May we be the last to know information. Amen. So that we can prosper and preserve the church life.
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed the point that says that the main function of the sisters is not cooking and cleaning. Oh, Lord Jesus. But it's to preserve life, Amen. To bring forth life. So I also enjoyed seeing that this is what God has ordained. You know, the way that he made us as women is to bring forth life, but through pain. And so even in our experience as Christians in the church life, we have to be those who are willing to sacrifice. Amen. We have to be those who are willing to put ourselves aside so that we can pray and we can bring forth life in the church life.
Amen. I appreciate the brothers mentioned the four points. Especially, I appreciate sacrifice is under love. So may our sacrifice we do is not by grinding our teeth. It's by the love from the Lord. Amen. And then also, I appreciate the brother's understanding of the birth pain is not over after the baby is getting out. And then sometimes when the children growing, the pain increase. Sometimes I was wondering, but today I was revolutionized. Those pain is God ordained and for a good purpose.
Amen. Amen. I just was really touched that when the sisters have a proper standing, the enemy is defeated. Amen. We have a proper standing. We have the ground to defeat Satan. Amen. Saints, our no will cause him to change his tactics, Amen. Will cause him to change his strategy, thank you. And so I just, there was a prayer within me, Lord, that I would know my proper standing, right? I think the main problem with us is that we don't know our standing, or we don't realize what our function is. And the brother was just so faithful to show us our function in such a full way, you know? And so, you know, Lord Jesus, we need to go through the process of love, sacrifice, pray, to be able to season the church life. Amen. If we don't go through love, sacrifice, and prayer, we will bitter the church, make it bitter, not season it, right? So, Lord Jesus, I just, my prayer is that we would be those that have the proper standing, that know our function, and that are one with the sacrificing and subduing life in our spirit.
Amen. Okay, just those standing here.
1 minute each.
1 minute each.
Amen. So I really appreciated this picture of Shifra and Pua and how they're going against the Pharaoh is what saved the lives of so many of the children of Israel during that time, and especially with Moses, right? So, and it just shows how even in the outward circumstances, right, there could be a lot of things negatively telling us to do one thing, but praise the Lord, these two went with their heart. The Lord had put something in their heart to preserve. And I just appreciated this picture that, you know, these two sisters had no children of their own. And yet they were willing to risk their lives for these children, right? And no different. Sometimes our concept in the church life is, oh, well, I'm not going to serve with the children because I don't have children, or I don't know, or I don't, you know, I'm not able. But praise the Lord, every sister has a function. You do not need to have children to be a mom, to be a sister in the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
We need each other. All the saints need each other as a sisters and a brothers. The Lord has used me as a spiritual mother online. And I've been like a mother, a sister, a daughter for God, for people online. There is a new open door in Syria. We don't have no sense in Syria, but the Lord online has used us. We have now a few members with one brother. I've been preaching him online with his family and friends preaching. He preached them in the Arabic world every week. The Lord has used him. We need the prayer of the mother, of the sisters, for the brothers. Amen. To the Lord send brothers to Syria and to have baptism and a first Lord table in Syria.
Amen.
So we need your love, your sacrifice, your prayer, the salt. We need your prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, sisters. Aren't you so encouraged today with our function in the church?
Amen.
I just really was touched by this last point about the fineness of the sisters. And I think many of us have experienced that. We do have, many times I've thought it was a curse, that I see things all the time, you know, and I'm like, but Carlos, you know. But the thing is that I was really touched that that is something God-given.
Right.
The Lord made us that way, right? But the important part is that we need to have a proper spirit.
Amen.
If we have an improper spirit, something that could be helpful for the body of Christ becomes damaging to the body of Christ.
Amen.
The way that we express something can really damage or it can build up.
Amen.
And I realized the only way to have the proper spirit is through death and resurrection.
Amen.
We need to experience some salt, right, to our keenness or whatever we see, whatever concern we have, so that it can, we need to go and pray. Bring it to the Lord so that eventually it can be something useful to the body and not something damaging to the body. So I really, really appreciated that point, that whenever we see something, we need to be those that go to the Lord, and we are willing to have the Lord deal with the part of it that's natural.
Yeah.
So then the body can benefit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I enjoy that we need to be healthy. And how are we healthy? By pouring out our flask of alabaster on the Lord.
Amen.
When Mary poured her flask of alabaster, the place was filled with the fragrance of the ointment.
Amen.
And this fragrance is our love for the Lord.
Amen.
And when we pour out for the Lord, we can't help but be healthy and attract others. And the church life can go on.
Amen.
Because the sisters of the blood, and the blood carries out all the impurities, and everything goes out. It is that fragrance that comes from our loving the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans 16:4, when they would talk, Paul talk about Prisca and Aquila, he said, who risked their own necks for my life. And he gives thanks to all the churches. Not only Paul knew Prisca and Aquila, all the churches, they knew who were these two people, this couple. Praise the Lord. They risked their life. And when you risk your life for the church got life.
Amen.
The church got, he flourished.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is looking for people who risk their life. You know, if we are not able to pay our price, sometimes, you know, we said, oh, the price is too high. Oh, I have to do this and I have to do that. No, in order for the Lord, for all of us to have the life of the Lord, he has to pay with his own life.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the sisters. We have to produce life. The sisters are the ones who produce life. But life comes with sacrifice. If you don't pay the price, no life at all. Praise the Lord.
Welcome to the Sisters Blending Conference. It's really a wonderful sight here to see all the sisters sitting here enjoying the Lord, sitting at His feet, and listen to Him. And praise the Lord, we have the opportunity to serve you. So there are quite a lot of announcements for this conference. Please bear with us shortly. Number one is the schedule. We will have a break from now, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. All the breaks in this conference are 30 minutes, so you have plenty of time to go to the restroom and enjoy the refreshment. The next meeting will start at 11 o'clock and go to 12:30. And then lunch will be served from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Then the session 3 will start from 2 o'clock to 3:30. 3:30 to 4, we'll have another break. And then we'll have the last session from 4 to 5:30. And at 5:30, we will send you off with a packed dinner.
Well, we're so happy to have so many here this morning. I could just read from our attendance. We have 470 sisters. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's 65 brothers. And many of them, you'll see them with aprons on, serving. It's a wonderful sight. 39 children, so total adults is 535, and including children, 574. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord bless our time today.
Amen.
We'd just like to mention, since there's so many of us, we hope everyone practices good hygiene. We have tissue boxes and hand sanitizers throughout the building. So please feel free to use it. You can apply a liberal amount and sanitize your hands throughout the day.
Amen. Restroom. So we will have, there are three additional restrooms downstairs. So many of sisters may not know. We have posted signs along the ramp. So in order to get to those restroom, you can go down the ramp and then make a right, and there's a door to the basement where there are three newly renovated bathrooms, and they're all for sisters' use. On the first floor, we have the sisters' bathroom on the north side, and then we have the men's room on the south side. We'll still use that men's room for brothers, but we will ask all the younger sisters to try to go downstairs, and don't go down this this hallway, but go down through the ramp.
Okay, we have an announcement concerning the children. Parents, please pick up the children after each session and keep them with you during the break time. It is important to teach the children to stay with you when there is a crowd. This is for their safety. Please return the children to the sign-in table for each session. Children will not be admitted without a parent to sign in each time. We're so happy the children can be with us together, although I think many are not here, given the number. We just ask that you would keep them with you during the break time.
Amen. And just to add a little bit to the children, if you need to stay with your children, the room in the front, which we call the fellowship room, is available for you to stay, and there's webcasts where you can see the meeting. You may not be sitting here, but you'll be able to catch everything in the meeting in that fellowship room. Also, there's a room downstairs, the nursery room. You can also stay with the children. We have an announcement from the book room. We have a lot of titles that are available for the sisters today in the book room. That is in the north lobby. We have the Serving Sisters in the Church Life, English only. The Loving Mothers in the Church Life, English only. The Six Marys, also English only, Raising Up the Next Generation for the Church Life. And that's available in English and simplified Chinese. And the last title is Proper Sisters. It's a 3-volume set, and that's in traditional Chinese only.
Okay, this is the last announcement before the break. There's refreshments. Refreshments for the breaks is available downstairs in the kitchen. You could eat anywhere on the first floor, but the garage has also been closed up and heated, so you could also eat in the garage outside. Oh, there are tables. There are plenty of tables and chairs. Yeah. So there are tables on that side of the room. You can enter through here or from the back. So there's plenty of place. There's plenty of places. We like, during the break, this is an opportunity for you to blend together. We hope that's a big part of our time together for your blending. So we'll break now.
So if the sister need hospitality, please see Brother Osmar in the back in front of the classroom. If you just arrived today and you need hospitality, please go in and check with him.
And so we'll come back at 11:10. You'll have about 30 minutes. Come back at 11:10 for the next session.